Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you so much for your presence. Thank you that we can come here today to worship you. And God, I pray that you would still our hearts before you and that your praise would be on our lips. Father God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would get me out of the way, Lord Jesus, that you would speak only your words, Lord, the words from your Holy Scripture. God, I just ask for a move of your Spirit upon me, upon my brothers and sisters, that we might understand your Word, not just to get it into our minds, but into our hearts and practiced in our lives. Lord Jesus, we honor you and we bless your name. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords. You are Hosanna. You are the ruler of the universe. You are sovereign God. You say, tell a cloud to go here and it goes there. Lord, you speak everything that we see into existence. You are mighty God. Oh Lord, we just ask that you come and fill us now with your Spirit and that you would have your way and take the reins of our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I just feel like we just need to give God some praise before we launch into the Word of God. And so can we just praise the Lord and give a clap offering to God and exalt Him and praise Him, say Hosanna, whatever God lays on your heart today, because it's praise that brings us into the courtroom of God and into the throne room of God. And so let's just bless the name of the Lord. Praise you, Lord. We exalt you, Jesus. We lift your name on high. You're worthy, God. You're holy, God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Hosanna, Lord save. And God, as we come to your Word this morning, we're going to look at Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place.' And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, verse 28, and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot.' So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, 'Do you understand what you're reading?' And he said, 'How can I unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture that he was reading was this: 'Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. And in his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth.' And the eunuch said to Philip, 'About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this about himself or about someone else?' Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning with the Scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?' And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down to the water, and Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea." As we launch into this passage of Scripture, as we see from the previous chapters, God establishes deacons who were to serve and wait tables. And we already talked about Stephen, the first deacon. And you might think that God calls you to something small, but what started out as small, the anointing and the power of God came upon Stephen, and he preached the gospel, and all these signs and miracles and wonders were done. And of course, they stoned Stephen, and he breathed the testimony of Jesus Christ into his last breath. And now we have another deacon, Philip. See, Satan thinks that he can stop the church of God from moving on. He can take one man or woman out, but then there's always another to follow. Amen? and that's you. That's you. You are the one. You're the one that follows. And I want to talk to you today about God's Department of Transportation. Now, as Americans, in our American society, we don't really fully understand the value of a Department of Transportation because we buy our own cars and vehicles. But if you were to go overseas in any other country, the main mode of transportation is through the bus, is through the railroad or the subway. And that is the main sort of mode of transportation. But I want to talk to you today about how to travel with God. Because God is not the kind of God that just sits still. Remember the Mount of Transfiguration? The disciples said, why don't we just make tabernacles and stay here in the presence of God? Jesus says, no, I have to accomplish God's will. And a lot of times we get content right where we're at in our walks with God, not only spiritually, physically, emotionally. We get content with the ministries that we're serving in, and we say, okay, this is good, this is all I have. And God is on the move. God is always on the move. And as Philip was a man who, it says, was filled with the Holy Spirit, he learned how to be sensitive to the Spirit's calling. And so if we're going to travel with God, number one, we have to be open and sensitive to the Holy Spirit and go where God says to go. Because in verse 26, God spoke to him through an angel and says, rise and go to this desert place. Now, in order to get the gist of this, what was happening in the previous chapter? Philip was preaching in Samaria. There are signs and wonders. All these people getting saved. There was revival happening in all the villages of Samaria. Now, can you picture and feel what is going on in Philip's mind? He says, Philip, this revival is going on, but I want you to go to the desert. Things are going so well, this revival. Certainly, he's the main preacher. Certainly, God wouldn't say, I want you to leave now and go to the desert. That doesn't make sense. You might be thriving, you might be doing well, you might be content where you're at, but if we want to travel with God, we have to be open and sensitive to the Holy Spirit's direction in our lives. Sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks, perhaps through an angel. Perhaps through, most of the time, through that inner voice, if we learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. But the majority of the time, it's always through the Word of God that we have. But there's all different ways God speaks. It's through, sometimes He speaks through difficulties. Just like Stephen. Stephen wouldn't have started his ministry if it weren't for persecution breaking out against the church, right? He would still be waiting tables. In the temple, serving the widows. But because of difficulty, that was God's way of speaking. Stephen, I have something other for you to do, and that is to preach the gospel in this other location. And so because of persecution, it drove him out to do God's will. Now, God speaks in all different ways. It could be through trials. It could be through angels. It could be through that still small voice. It could be through the Scripture. But the Holy Spirit, here's what we need to remember and always mark, He never ever speaks against the revealed written Word of God. Never ever. Never ever. There's not revelation outside that goes against or changes or moves what's written in this book. However, here's where we're tempted. Well, the Holy Spirit moved this way and back in the day, so this is how He has to move now. Sometimes we confine the speaking of the Holy Spirit to the box of our past experience. I experienced the Holy Spirit this way 20 years ago in the church, and that's the way that I have to experience Him now speaking in my life. Not necessarily. As we see through the apostles' lives, it was many different times and many different ways that the Holy Spirit began to speak. So we got to tear down and open up our boxes Don't live like homeless Christians in the box on the street. Because God wants us, He has bigger things for us. He has things that make us maybe perhaps uncomfortable. And He brings about changes in our lives. So it requires some walking. At this time, the Holy Spirit just spoke to Philip through the angel and said, I want you to go to the desert. He didn't say, take a mode of transportation. I want you to get up and walk and go. And he could have had a donkey or he could have had a horse. I don't know what, but it required him getting up and going and walking, and it means taking action. Now, I want to encourage us today, first of all, if we're going to do that, if we're going to step out and do what the Holy Spirit's called us to do, we have to be aware of making excuses. How many times have you said, and I have said, all right, Holy Spirit, but not right now. There's this revival happening in Samaria. We'll get to those desert folks. Perhaps there's only a couple of people out there. I'll go to that. Not now. I will, but not now. Or how about, not me. I'm not the only one seated in these pews. I'm not the only one that can do A, B, or C. How about, all right, but not there. Not that. How many times have we done that? But if we're to be Spirit-filled Christians that have the Holy Spirit working in our life, it's not about what makes logical sense to us. You mean it just goes against the grain of everything in our human thing that Philip would be preaching and this revival would be happening? He said, I don't want you to go to the desert. What is it for you today and what is it for me today that the Holy Spirit is leading you to do, and you say, this just does not make logical sense to me right now. But I just got to where things were good. I want you to go to the desert. That doesn't make sense. Look at all these people that are getting saved. It requires flexibility, and it may not make sense. Philip left a large, growing congregation for a lonely desert road. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8, does anybody know that scripture? I would encourage you to memorize it if you don't. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. It may not make logical sense, but did you know at this point the gospel had not been clearly carried to Africa and the Ethiopian area, which was further south, and because as a result of that one man coming to Jesus Christ, we don't know how many people came to Christ in Africa and in Ethiopia, because Philip obeyed God and went to a desert place to talk to one man. Secondly, we have to be on the lookout for God's divine appointments. He didn't just say go. When God tells us to go, we have to have our eyes wide open and we have to watch what's going on around us. Sometimes, because as American culture, as we're so busy doing this and that, we're running back and forth, we're only focused on our own lives and what we're supposed to do, and we fail to realize what's going on around us. Sometimes we might even walk in, and I've had Sunday mornings when I'm thinking about doing this and getting ready for that, that sometimes I forget to even say hi to somebody that walks by because of that whole idea of busyness. If we're going to follow the Holy Spirit, we have to become aware of what's going on around us. He said, okay, go. And then he saw an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official, and had the treasure. And so because he was high up, this was a noticeable thing. I mean, it was a whole entourage. It was not just a single chariot, because they had to have guards to protect. They had the treasure and all that. And he had gone up to Jerusalem. Evidently, he was a Gentile who converted to Judaism and was there to honor God. And he was returning home. And Philip saw that. He saw that entourage. And not only that, it was customary in the day that if they were reading a scripture, and evidently he had to be wealthy because in order to have a text of scripture like that, a scroll, you had to have a lot of money. That was a rare thing. So he had the scroll open and he was reading it out loud so much so that Philip could hear him. Because Philip was paying attention. And so to be on the lookout for God's divine appointments, it requires an open ear to the Spirit. It requires being observant, and it might take you out of your comfort zone to look where you don't normally look. Now, you might think that sometimes when we get comfortable where we live and an all white area perhaps, I'm probably going to tread on some hard zones here, but we live in all area where everybody's like us. And we try to make friends with people that are like us, right? That's just what makes sense. That's what's the most comfortable thing is for us. And we feel the safest that way. And a lot of times we walk by people and we don't even notice them because they might have less expensive clothes than we wear. They might be of a different race or a different color. And we walk right by them and don't even notice them, or we feel uncomfortable, so we purposely ignore them. But to be a person that's sensitive to the Holy Spirit, it means that we might have to get out of our comfort zone to talk to somebody that we may not normally feel comfortable talking to. That's hard, isn't it? But that's the mark of a true believer. There is no social status. There is no race in God's eyes. There is no, well, this person I feel more comfortable around and this person I don't. When it comes to ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit, it's having open eyes to notice everyone. To look where we might not normally look. To look the cashier at the market in the eyes. To look at the gas station attendant. To look at the person that's sitting across the room in the high school, in your high school classroom or college room. Well, there's that little group over here and this little group over here. When I was at Moody, it was one of the greatest experiences of being there was having just such being in the middle of the city, which was multicultural. But we also had a lot of missionary students in that. And so we all had our tables we sat at on our floor and brother, sister. But then there was an international table where all the internationals that I would purposely go and sit there. And I so thoroughly enjoyed that so much, and it opened up my eyes to a lot of things. Just to get yourself out there and meet people, it's I'm not going to sit over there in the table. They're talking a different language than I talk. They're walking with a different swagger than I walk. You go right there and sit down and just talk as if you're talking to any other person. That's how the Holy Spirit moves. That's how He works. And that's sort of the case for Philip. A black man riding in a chariot. Now, when I say that word, that gets a lot of people uncomfortable. I can see like the brisk. Why is that? Really, seriously, why is that? We have a lot of racial tension in our country. Holy Spirit. You know, if I can try not to be political here, America is a melting pot. we're so worried about keeping certain people groups out. What if we looked at it the other way, as God is bringing them to us so that we could share the gospel? What if the church says, this is an opportunity to share Jesus Christ with people that may not normally hear the gospel? I don't have to get a ticket and I don't have to get on a plane to go to all these countries around the world. God can bring them right here. And He can use me to minister to them. Sometimes when the Holy Spirit moves, we have to let go of some of our fears. We have to stop looking at what is on the media, because it's a bunch of garbage most of the time, and be the believer that God called us to be. All right, I don't know who or what that was for. That's the Holy Spirit. But number three, be willing to go out of your way to have friendly dialogue with people God is working in. So Philip was watching what the Spirit was doing, and not only that, it says that in verse 30 that he ran to the chariot. So you can imagine Philip's walking along the road, and this chariot's galloping along and going along. He probably saw a little bit of a distance. And if something's in a carriage, I mean, it's moving like this, right? Or maybe a little faster. So you say, you know what? I hear him reading, but God, he's too far away. We make excuses like that. Have you? I've done that. Holy Spirit says, I want you to talk to that person. Oh, well, they're walking out to the parking lot. They probably want to get home. Philip ran. He ran. And to follow the Holy Spirit, sometimes it requires running. It's going the extra mile, taking the extra time to go and touch that person's life. It might require being friendly. Take time to sit down and talk. And so he invited him up in his chariot. Now, I don't know about you. I would be kind of like, well, this is kind of going in the wrong direction. This is going south. This is not the direction. I want to go back towards home. So he's in the chariot, and they're still heading south down towards Ethiopia. And God, what's going to happen? How am I going to get back? Holy Spirit says, don't worry about that, because I have a hot rod waiting for you, and I'm going to take you where you need to be. God's Department of Transportation. See, be willing to go out of your way to be friendly. And I want to encourage you, as people of God, you need to learn to be friendly with people. I need to learn to be friendly with people. Learn how to make conversation. Don't just go into your homes and say, this is my property, it's us four and no more. This is my safe, secure home. I don't trust people. And you know what? To have friendly dialogue, it does require a little bit of trust, right? Because you're talking with them and they have the potential to say something bad about you or do something wrong. But trust the Holy Spirit. Step out. Go the extra mile for the Lord, because God loves people. There was a man, if you're familiar with D.L. Moody, he was a great evangelist. And in a meeting, there was a man that probably wanted to impress D.L. Moody, probably got so excited at those revival meetings. And he said, you know, he stood up and he said, I've been 5 years in the Mount of Transfiguration, thinking that D.L. Moody might be impressed that he was just in the throne room and he was just, oh, so full of the glory. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! He just lived in that realm. So D.L. Moody says, how many souls have you won to Christ? Well, I do not know. And Moody said, have you won any? I do not know that I have, the man answered. Well, said Moody, sit down then. Sit down. Because if we're really in the fount of glory, as the early church was, it leads to loving people. It leads to reaching out to those around us and engaging them and friendly dialogue. Then the fourth thing I want to make about it, this passage, and beginning in verse 31, he said, how can I understand unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come and sit with him. And now the passage of Scripture, he goes on and shares what he was reading out of the book of Isaiah, is we need to be observant and pay close attention to what others are doing and going through. That means take a clear interest. If you come up to somebody and they start talking about, they'll usually, if you start a conversation, usually, more often than not, their interest will come up, or what they are going through will come up in a very non-direct way. So you have to pay attention. Be a good, friendly person that we are going to be. If the person is talking about, oh, I just love my butterflies in the backyard, I planted all these flowers. Oh, and I see some of you are like, geez, oh Pete, I don't want to hear any more about the butterflies. Or so there's dog people too, right? They want to talk just about their dog all the time. And it's like, oh, they're cat people. And you're thinking, I hate cats. There's probably some cat haters in here, right? Oh yeah, there's a few over here. I'm so sorry. God created cats too. Be interested in what's going on in their life. In this case, Philip was interested in what he was reading and what he was struggling with. He was reading a text of Scripture out of Isaiah, and he said, I don't understand what this means. So it means asking questions. Learn to be a good question asker. If you look throughout and notice and observe throughout the Scriptures, Jesus asked a lot of questions. The apostles asked questions of people. It's how you get involved in people's lives. How is your day is a simple question, and then maybe if they just say fine, you say, really? Is it really fine? Because they can see your eyes. There's tears in your eyes or whatever. You know, you have to watch their eyes. Watch what people... And most often than not, any time that I've said how someone's doing or whatever in a Walmart line or something, all of a sudden all these problems start coming out. Well, my dad is sick at home with cancer, da-da-da-da-da. There's your moment. There's your door to ask questions. There's your door to say, how can I pray for you? Or can we set up a time to meet for lunch? Or whatever. If you're afraid of the person, take someone else, another brother or sister with you. You know, just be smart about things. Well, I'm not meeting somebody for lunch that I just met at the cashier. Take another brother or sister with you. Invite them to church. Invite them to dinner at a church function where we have these outreaches and picnics like we're having today. It might require some purposeful looking and listening. And I think it's good to look into somebody's eyes. We're not very good at that as Americans. We really are not. Here's what I want you to do is if there's someone around you, if it's your spouse or somebody, maybe this is not a good idea for married folks. They might just start getting a little too lovey-dovey. But I want you to look into somebody's eyes without laughing or making a joke out of it, right? And just tell them, I appreciate you. Just something simple like that. But do so looking into their eyes. Don't look away. Don't blink. I love you. Now, some of you looked and then you looked away. You didn't look at them long enough to see what's going on in their lives. Now, there's a difference between staring. You know, when I was in Chicago, I went to these Polish buffets. And the Polish people, I think it's part of the culture, and I'm sorry if you're Polish, but they like to stare across the room. It was There's a difference between that and properly looking in someone's eyes to see if there's pain, to see if there's joy. You could tell a lot. It's the window of the soul. So that's a good way to become an observant person. So moving right along to number five. Here's where it's going to spank our bottoms. Because we have to be prepared to share God's Word and disciple others. He took a passage of Scripture from the Old Testament, and what does it say Philip did? He said, in verse there, he said, open his mouth, and beginning with the Scripture, he told them the good news about Jesus. Now, as followers of Jesus Christ, we should be able to, wherever someone's at in a Scripture or whatever is going on in their life, we should be able to use that as a springboard to get to the good news about Jesus died for your sins and rose again from the grave. And if you turn and give your life to Him, this is how you can be saved and have a relationship with God. So here's where you need to be in the Word of God, folks. And I want to use this example. And I thought this was a good illustration. There was a pastor at Campus Crusade who was going to, there's a guy by the name of Ron who was going to a Presbyterian church, and that pastor was preaching on the genealogies of Jesus in Matthew and Luke. Now, have anybody gotten to those genealogies and so-and-so begat so-and-so and begat so-and-so? Well, I remember when I was a kid, I was like, well, when I had to read all that at Moody, we had to read through all that, and I wanted to skip over that. Well, this pastor was teaching and showing that they fit together, and is showing that it proved that Jesus was not only the promised Messiah, but He was the one, the Messiah. And so he was teaching on that. And so this young man goes on campus, and he sees another guy sitting down at the table, and he said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm reading the genealogies of Jesus, and I'm trying to make them fit together. Now, they seem different." So then, because he had received that teaching on the genealogies of Jesus Christ, he explained how they fit together, and that young man accepted Christ. Do you know the Bible, the Word of God, and how it fits together? This is why we say you have to be hungry for Bible study. You have to be hungry to get in the Word of God. Because every single one of us in here, and it doesn't take a Bible degree. It doesn't. You don't have to go to Bible college to be able to share Jesus from any passage of Scripture, to share the gospel, that He died in your place. And so you can take that. He was led like a sheep to slaughter. He was humiliated. And Philip says, let me tell you what happened in Jerusalem just a few years back. Someone says, my mother is home and she has so many days to live, and I'm just distraught. Someone says that to you, there's your opportunity to say, let me tell you about eternal life. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Can I pray for you? It requires that we know and understand God's Word, and but not only that, we have to be bold and willing to share it. It might mean that we take time to schedule to mentor somebody. And Philip was in that chariot. He wasn't going anywhere. He was heading south. They were on the move, it says, if you read the text, because they were moving along, it says, and he saw some water. Because after Philip explained the gospel, this Ethiopian eunuch received Jesus Christ and says, I want to be identified with this Jesus. There's some water. He understood that it was through the mode of baptism that you say, I am now a follower of Jesus Christ. And he said, I want to be baptized. But that took time. So Philip baptized him, shared the Word of God. And so my question for you today is, can you explain Christ from the Scriptures? Can you explain Christ? This is your challenge. And it might simply mean, and this is why we have all new members in our church, give their testimony and learn how what it means to be a follower of Jesus and how to give your testimony of Jesus Christ. Because the Holy Spirit wants to use you. He wants you to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. well, I'm just going to be friendly to people, but I'll let someone else, I'll let the pastor share the gospel with them because he can explain it better. There's nobody that can explain it better than the one that the Holy Spirit's called to explain it. Even if your words are stuttered and mixed up, I've seen people come to Christ with the most discombobulated message. Sometimes, you know, I look at, how do they understand what this guy was saying? He stuttered and stammered and all that, and they're crying in repentance. Because God uses you, He uses your obedience, but you have to be willing to speak the gospel in your own feeble human way. But if you're in the Word, it's going to be okay. If this is your life, it's going to be okay. Now, this last part. Philip was way south. Holy Spirit, that's not the direction that I want to go in. He climbed up in the chariot. And perhaps, you know how long it takes to explain the Scriptures? It could have been a half hour. They covered some ground. Not to worry, because when God is in it, He always provides a way. And here's where I believe God provided the Holy Spirit hot rod to get Philip where he needed to go. And this is God's Department of Transportation. If God calls you to go somewhere, He's going to make a way, and He's going to make your way back. If you go out of your way, He's going to help you get that extra task accomplished that you took time out of your day to talk to this person that you didn't get done. He's going to bless, as He did with Philip. Because look what it says in verse 39, "And when they came out of the water, the Spirit carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And he found himself at Azotus, and he was passed through. He preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea." So they were way south, and now he was up in the area of Jerusalem around Caesarea and Azotus, suddenly by the Holy Spirit. I don't know if the Holy Spirit became an airplane, became a hot rod, but we'll just imagine it's a hot rod because I want it to be a hot rod today. But wherever Holy Spirit wants to take you, He will take you. See, be willing to keep riding in the Holy Spirit hot rod to the next opportunity to share the gospel. Philip could have said, "Wow, this is great. There's revival in Samaria. Let's stay here." The Holy Spirit says, "No. Oh, a man in Ethiopia, he's going to go share his... Maybe I should go with him and help him plant the churches." And the Holy Spirit says, "No. I want you to go back to Caesarea and I want you to preach up around those parts there." Never get stagnant or comfortable. The Holy Spirit is always on the move. And always be ready for the next ride with the Spirit. Don't wait around to steal God's glory for what has happened in the last divine appointment. And perhaps maybe that's why God moves us. Because here's what happens if we stay in it for too long. I just won Terry to Jesus Christ today and I'm just going to stay by him. And, "Hey, did you know that I shared Jesus Christ with Terry and he accepted Christ?" He was blubbering all over. He was crying. It was a dramatic conversion. Holy Spirit says, "Move on. You're starting to take the glory for this. Move on. There's another person that needs the message of the gospel. Move on." Because if we stay somewhere too long with in some place, and the Holy Spirit says, "Here's the thing. I got some other people here I want you to minister to. I have some other people I want you to reach out to over here." Don't get comfortable in your ministry. Because if we do, we start to take the credit and the glory. And the glory belongs to Jesus Christ. And we always persevere in preaching the gospel everywhere the Holy Spirit takes. This guy, Philip, just did not stop. He wasn't concerned about getting the glory. "Hey, Peter, John, did you guys hear that I just won somebody from Ethiopia? So the gospel spread..." He wasn't worried about that. He was worried about sharing the gospel with the next person along the line. So, we have a choice. as believers in Jesus Christ. And if you're not a believer in Jesus, if you've not received, if you don't know today, if you were to die, you are going to go to heaven when you die. Jesus said, I died for you. He speaks to you today. I died in your place for your sins, and I rose again. I'm God. If you would turn and give your life to me, my Spirit will come and live inside of you. So if you haven't done that, I urge you to do that today. Don't wait to be sure. Because the Bible says that we can be sure that we have eternal life if we put our faith and trust in what Jesus has done on the cross and we believe in Him. We can be sure. We don't have to worry. We don't have to have doubts. It says, if you believe on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. It's a promise. And you can have that today. But if you're a believer today, you have a choice. You could take your own method of transportation. And miss out on what God has for you. Or you could take God's transportation that sometimes doesn't make sense. It's uncomfortable. I'm not going to get the glory from it. And then see God spread His gospel on the earth. You know, really think of it this way. Should we really know all the people that we won to Christ? Maybe not till we get to glory, to heaven. Don't worry about it. Obey, follow the Spirit, win people to Christ. You don't know how far and how wide that impact is going to reach, even by praying for one person at a supermarket. You just don't know. You just don't know. So, is it Holy Spirit hot rod? Or Steve Foster's Ford? I was thinking of an F, someone had the last name of F. What will you choose? Will you choose to listen to the Holy Spirit today? I want to close today and I want to give you an opportunity to pray. I just want us to bow our hearts before Jesus. And if you're here today and you've not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is the time to say, I believe. Lord, I'm a sinner. I put my faith and trust in you. You can do that and right where you're seated. But if you're a believer and you're wrestling right now with your transportation versus God's method of transportation, say, Lord, change my heart. Lord, I can see on several people's faces and that we want to be like Philip. We want to learn to listen to your voice. And even if it doesn't make sense. But Lord, we have so many things in our culture that we've been steeped in. We have so many areas of stubbornness in our lives. We ask, Lord, in your own way, in your own gentle way, through your Spirit, as you work individually in a special way with each of us, very specifically, you would begin to break down those walls, those barriers, those fears, those areas of pride, those areas of stubbornness. And God, that you would grow us to become a man, a woman of faith, like Stephen. That when you say go, we go. And Lord, I pray right now, I just want to ask if we could just lift our hands to the Lord and ask God right now, just lift our hands to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to receive a fresh baptism of Your love for people. That I would have Your heart. That I would have Your compassion. That I would have Your notice of what's going on around me. Oh, Holy Spirit, fill us with the love of Jesus this morning. Make us lovers of people. Give us Your heart of compassion, God, and Your kindness. Lord, take us out of our comfort zones. Let Your power be manifest in our lives, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. 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 If you